reminded of the story of the family. I had a young girl, little girl in the family, and they were good church-going people. They went to church every week, and they didn't know how much was going in, how much this little girl was hearing. And then one day, very sadly, her hamster died. And she was distraught, and it's a little hamster in its little box. And they decided they would bury it in the garden. So they dug a little hole, and they all stood round. And the dad said to the little girl, "Would you like to say, thank you to Jesus for your hamster?" And she said, "Thank you, Lord Jesus, for my hamster. And do you want to put him into the little grave we've dug?" So she takes the box and she says, "In the name of the Father and of the Son, and into the hole he goes." It's a strange word, that holy bit. The number of times we've used that word, or words linked to it, this morning already. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Early in the morning, our song shall rise. Holiness is a strange thing. It's one of those Christian words that we use quite a lot. But it's taken me a bit of work to actually unpack what I think holiness means. I'm not going to attempt to describe what it means when we describe God as holy. I think that is beyond one sermon, maybe a sermon series on God's holiness. But I want to think today about what it means for us to be holy, what it means for us to show the holiness of God in our world, what it means for us to be transformed, to offer ourselves, as St. Paul says, as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. I don't often read Jonathan Edwards. Jonathan Edwards, the great preacher, along with Whitfield and Wesley, great preacher. The reason I don't read him very much is he makes me feel dreadfully uncomfortable. Because I know that what he preaches about is right, but he doesn't pull his punches. So I don't read Jonathan Edwards that much, but Jonathan Edwards describes three things. When we ask, what is holiness? Jonathan Edwards says three things. The first thing, holiness is a conformity of the heart and the life unto God. Let me read that again for you. Holiness is a conformity of the heart and the life unto God. Holiness is about our lives being God-shaped. Imagine a lump of clay. Under the potter's hands, a lump of clay is moulded into the shape not that the clay wants, but that the potter wants. And the potter knows just where to squeeze and where to push and where to pull to make a pot rise out of this sort of rather undistinguished lump of clay. Holiness is about us being moulded in our hearts and our lives to be like God. The second thing Jonathan Edwards says is it is a conformity, it is a moulding into the likeness of Jesus Christ. We're not just theists, we don't just believe in God, we believe in God as revealed in Jesus Christ, the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. It is a conformity, us being transformed to be like Jesus, to do the things that Jesus does and says. Sorry, I shouldn't have taken my keys out of my pocket. Can I have my keys back, please, Mother? For several years now, either on my wrist or on my keys, I've had one of those. Anybody see what letters they are? You can probably guess. WWJD. What would Jesus do? Sadly, I don't look at my keys often enough. I ought to look at them more. Holiness is about saying of every situation and of everything, what would Jesus do, and then doing it. It's allowing ourselves to be moulded into that likeness. Holiness, Jonathan Edwards said for the third point, is a conformity to God's laws and commands. We don't have to do this in our own heads. We've got help. Help here, and I can't actually pull it out because the projector is resting on it, but help there. It's the Book of Common Prayer, the 39 Articles of Religion, and the Catholic Creeds, the Nicene Creed, the Athanasian Creed, the Apostles' Creed, the words of Scripture are all there to help us know God's laws and commands. The city celebration last Sunday evening, John Andrews from the Rotherham New Life Centre said, it's dead easy, you know, it's not hard to understand the law. You know, you look at the Ten Commandments, Exodus chapter 20, the Ten Commandments. Don't steal. He said, you've got to work very hard not to understand that. Don't commit adultery. It's relatively straightforward. The teacher of the law comes to Jesus and said, you know, teacher, which is the greatest commandment? Because the problem is, by that stage, there are however many hundreds of laws that have been written so that people know exactly what it means to keep the laws. We've done our usual trick of taking that which is simple and making it intensely complicated in order to try and understand it. The young man is saying, teacher. Well, there's two possibilities. Either he's saying, teacher, I don't get why we've got all of this. What? Just give me it simply. Or he's trying to trick Jesus up. Points, you can see it both ways. And Jesus said, love God with everything that you are, all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. That covers the first four. Love your neighbour as yourself. That covers the other six. Get it? Got it. It's simple. Those are God's laws and commands, to love God with our whole heart, to be wholeheartedly devoted to God, to be wholeheartedly devoted to our neighbour. Ah! Says a rather sneaky Pharisee trying to find a way out. But who is my neighbour? Yep, you know the person you hate? Yeah? Bing! That's your neighbour. Bother. It's simple. Love your neighbour as yourself. Love God with all your heart. So how do we achieve this conformity? How do we allow ourselves to be moulded into God's likeness? Well, the first thing I want to say is it isn't something we can earn. I remember when I was at school, at Adwick School, I used to get merit marks. At Woodlands Primary, the juniors get, they're in four different groups, in teams, across the school, and every week at the Achievers Assembly, Mr. McEnany or whoever stands at the front and says, in fourth place this week with 33 points is Oak, and the other three teams go, yes! It's the best bit of the Achievers Assembly. Those parents that go to that assembly, it's great, because the yeses get louder as you get closer to the, and then when they've got the two teams left, and he said, and in second place with 42 points is Elm, the whole of Ash go, yeah! Holiness isn't like that. When we do something good, God doesn't go, oh, one holiness merit mark. We don't have to stand in the classroom of the church and see the board up and see the class SWAT, which was me, with this huge long row of merit marks. And there's a name, and you know that name will never have a merit mark against it, or it'll only have one or two. And those will be from a generous teacher who didn't want him to have none. That's not what holiness is about. That's not how we get holiness. We don't get merit marks. It is a gift of grace. The holiness that we have, that likeness to God that he longs for us, is a gift. We don't earn it. We can't pay for it. We can't bribe God into giving it to us. It's a gift freely given, to be transformed into God's likeness. It's not something we can possess. Yeah. It's my holiness. You're not having it. This is my holiness. You know, like have you ever seen children with sweets? It's mine. Yeah. Selection box. Selection boxes are lovely, but advent calendars. Chocolate advent calendars. Our two, during Advent, were incredibly territorial about their chocolate advent calendars, despite the fact that they were identical. They were these divine chocolate ones with little hearts every day, little hearts. Identical. But they had to know which one was their mine. This is my advent calendar. No, Daddy, that's not my advent calendar. That's Joel's advent calendar. That's my advent. They're the same. You can't possess holiness. The scripture says is when we are in Christ, that is when we are holy. When we are so wrapped up in the arms of our loving Savior, when we are so closely walking with Him, then His holiness becomes our holiness. We choose to walk away from God, we leave the holiness with Him. We don't possess it. We don't have it. It comes when we are, as St. Paul says, in Him, when we are with Him, when we are alongside Him, when we are walking in His way, then that holiness comes to us as a gift. The third thing about holiness is it's not something you can hide. If you find someone who has that life which is totally devoted to God, which is devoted to God in a special way, you see it. It's not like one of these new age auras, they don't glow like the ready boy. But you can see it. You can see it in their faces, you can see it in their eyes, you can see it in everything they touch. They leave holiness fingerprints all over the place. It's almost like you know, some of the children's cartoons where you get the sort of the big radioactive monster that goes along, and it, Scooby-Doo, the radioactive monster comes through the house and it puts its hand on the wall and it leaves the handprint behind glowing. There are some people like that who leave this sense of God wherever they go. You can't hide true holiness. So then another question. And it's a rather strange way of asking it, but what is holiness not about? It is not about how good we are, but about how awesome God is. Back to our merit chart. It is not about spiritual merit badging. I'm holy. You can tell I'm holy by the way I live my life. You can tell how holy I am by the size of my Bible. That's mine. You can tell how holy I am by how many times I go to church. You can tell how holy I am by the size of the wad of cash I put into the collection plate. Hint, hint. It's not a spiritual merit badge. It's not something we use to make ourselves feel really good. You know, I've had a really holy day today. I'm on top of the game. It's not about measuring ourselves against other people. Holiness is not to be used to put other people down. The John Cleese, Ronnie Barker, Ronnie Corbett sketch. I am a priest. I am holier than her because she is only a church warden. I am a church warden. I am not as holy as him because I am not a priest, but I am holier than him because he is not a church warden. I am a sinner. I know my place. That's not what holiness is about. Too often in the church, too often in our own lives, too often in my life, I look at other people and I tut. If only their life were as good as mine. Because there's sin in my life. I am as much a sinner as anybody else. St. Paul, the great saint of the New Testament, who gave us so much of our understanding of the faith and the gospel, said, I am the chief sinner. I do the things I don't want to do. I don't do the things I do want to do, and sin is at work in me. St. Paul writes that. We're in good company. It's not about using our holiness to say to other people, you're a failure. When it comes to the God stuff, you're just not as good as me. That's not what holiness is about. It's also not about pretending that we are holy so that other Christians will think better of us. You know the sort of response I mean. How are you? Oh, I'm fine. Praise God. Isn't God good? I've had a wonderful week this week. God has just blessed me mightily in the heavenlies. What? I thought you had a cold. Well, yeah. You know, that sort of super spiritualism that some people use as a shield to stop you actually getting close enough. That sense that they're so overwhelmed with God that nothing ever touches them, no struggle ever comes past them. Now, there are some people who are so sure of what God is doing for them. They can have that confidence, but I tell you, they never give answers like those other people. Because true holiness is about humility. It's about being humble before God, acknowledging that holiness comes from God as a gift, that holiness is only what we achieve when we stay in Christ, when we stay close to God, and that it's not something that we have to force. People will see when our lives and our hearts and our minds are conformed to God's laws and commands, to God's person, to God himself, to Jesus. So what is holiness about? Why are we called to be holy? Holiness is about the light of a holy God shining into the world. The closest I can get to understanding God's holiness is what usually happens first thing in the morning in our house. Well, for me anyway. Those two, downstairs, CBeebies, Lego, Muzzy, blanket, sometimes do. They're downstairs, and the vicar emerges from the fog of sleep when his alarm goes off. It's fascinating. For the first 4 or 5 years of your children's life, you don't need an alarm because you're woken up by them bouncing heavily on your chest or screaming from the bedroom. And then suddenly you get to this point where you need an alarm again, and we've just got to that point. Because they do often do their own things in the morning when they wake up. So I awake from the fog, and I know the route from the bed to the bathroom. Usually the first thing I do is go and shave and shower and just sort of try and make myself feel. And you know, around the end of the bed, out of the door, along the bit of the landing, and then along the main bit of the landing, into the bathroom, turn the light on. Oh my goodness me! Who turned that up? And you can't see. You've got so used to the darkness that the light is blinding. I think that's the best image of holiness I've got. God is so amazing and awesome and pure and bright and radiant that to look at him is just sort of like turning the bathroom light on first thing in a dark morning. It's overwhelming. That pure white light is like the holiness of God. It's like the purity of God shining out. That's what us being holy is about. It's about us shining. Light doesn't tell the darkness how dark it is. It simply illuminates and banishes it. Holiness is not telling other people how unholy they are. It is simply about being holy so that they too can be brought into the light. It's not about them, it's about me. It's not about how bad they are or how good I am. It's about God and what he's doing in me. Holiness is about the life of a holy God being present in the world. You can't hide holiness. You can't shut it behind a door. If you've ever tried in a house to, I don't know how many of you have got those sort of glow-in-the-dark things that the kids get, and you want to do the, you know, they want to see, oh, daddy, can I glow in the dark? And it's midday, and the sun's shining, and you're trying to find a dark place in a house. It's impossible. Light is invasive. It gets through any crack that you can find. God with us, God in us, God's holiness shining out of us is like that. You can't hide it. If you're living a life that's conformed to the heart of God and to his laws and his commands, people will see it. They'll see it as you walk down the street. You won't need to talk about it. They'll see it. They'll come to you and they'll say, "What is it with you? Why are you different? I want what you've got." How many of you said that before you came to faith? "I want what someone else has got." Yeah, several people. Holiness is about the light of a holy God shining in the world. It's about the life of a holy God being present in the world. We are the body of Christ. We are the hands and the feet and the eyes and the ears of God in the world. He has chosen us to be Christ's ambassadors in the world. We're his representatives. Scary, hey? Look around. Honestly, look around. These are the people that God has chosen to reach his world. Scary. Believe me, it's even scary when I look in the mirror. It's about the light of a holy God shining in the world. It's about the life of a holy God being present in the world. And it's about the love of a holy God reaching out to the world. True godly holiness is attractive. I want to be like that. Not you should be like me. It's the other way around. It's about somebody saying, "I want to be like you," rather than us saying, "You should be like me." So how do we grow in holiness? We need to be conformed, transformed. Paul says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Allow God in. Allow God to work. Allow God's Holy Spirit to change your heart and your mind. If there's an area of your life or my life that you know is getting in the way, let God in. I sometimes in my head have an image of my life being like a big old house. And there are several rooms that have doors which are very, very well locked, and I have the keys. God doesn't have the keys to those rooms. I have the keys. Because there's stuff in there I don't want him to deal with. And through the course of my Christian life, every time God has wanted to take me on, it's involved taking that key out of my pocket and unlocking that door and opening up another part of my life to God and saying, "Okay, God." And it's like, the posh lady with the bun and the rubber gloves. Grime busted. "How clean is your house?" Sometimes feels a little bit like that. God puts his rubber gloves on and his pinny, and we go into this room and it gets cleared up and it gets sorted and it gets dealt with. Being transformed little by little, being molded into God's likeness. How do we do it? We read the word. We read God's word. We listen to what it says. We believe what it says. And then we do what it says. And that's another one of those simple things. We read what it said, we believe what it says, and then we do what it says. During the interregnum, someone came up to me and said, "There was a situation that happened. I wasn't sure what to do, so I read the Bible, prayed, and did what it said in the Bible. Was that okay?" That was a lesson to me. Because usually if there's a situation, I go, "Oh, crumbs, what am I going to do?" And then I think really hard, and then maybe remember my Bible. Read what it says. Believe what it says. And do what it says. It's about listening to God. We're not left alone with just a book. The word didn't become a book. The word became flesh and lived amongst us. He sends his Holy Spirit to live in us. We listen to God. We believe what he says. And then we do it. It's simple. We read the book, we believe what it says, we do what it says. We listen to God, we believe what he says, we do what he says. This is part of my vision and a sharing something of what I believe are the values of the church. Last week we talked about passion. Passion without holiness just explodes. it's uncontained and it just goes thwong, and it's gone. It's a flash in the pan. Holiness without passion, without that passionate love and commitment to God, turns into a prune, and it shrivels until it's the hardest nut that no one can crack. Holiness without that passion for Jesus is a shriveled prune. Passion without holiness is a flash in the pan. We need that balance. So a question to finish with. What's holding you and me back from a deeper holiness? What things get in the way of us being transformed into God's likeness? I'm going to sing a couple of songs, then we're going to do our confession in a particular way. I'm going to give you each a piece of paper and ask you to write on there just one thing, or if you're in a bit of a state, maybe a couple of three things that are stopping you from growing into holiness, from growing into that conformity to the likeness of God. It may be an addiction. An addiction to alcohol, an addiction to cigarettes, an addiction to gambling. It may be an addiction to television, to a soap or whatever. It may be an addiction, now listen to me very carefully here, to family. To be so overwhelmed by the demands of our family that we put God into second place. I'm not saying that we don't have to love and care for our families, but it needs to be God first, not God second. It may be something we've struggled with for many years, a besetting sin. Maybe anger over something that somebody's done to us. It may be disappointment. It may be grief. It might not be something that we've done, but that something that somebody else has done to us. Whatever that is, if that's stopping your growth in holiness, if that's stopping you drawing close to be in Christ, if it's stopping you from being molded, if there's a lump of stone in the clay, the potter cannot make the jug. It needs to be removed. So I want to encourage you, as we sing, I'm going to ask someone to pass out some paper and there's some pencils. Think about what God is saying to you. What is stopping you from growing into holiness? And then we'll bring those, without telling anybody other than God, we'll bring those to God and ask for his forgiveness and his healing, and ask for him to help us to grow in holiness.